In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Readings for this Sunday provide sobering reminders for us of the most important thing in life, indeed the only truly important thing in life, that of remaining in and growing in the grace of God. The Church takes this opportunity in the middle of the liturgical year to remind us of three things. First, as St. Benedict says in his Rule for Monks, keep death always before your eyes. It's said that there are two things we can never avoid, death and taxes. Tax evasion may be an option for us, not a wise option, but an option nonetheless. But there's no getting around the fact that the time for each of us in this world is limited, and we never know for sure how many our days will be. In the old days of the coronation for new popes, amid the great pomp and circumstance of the occasion, the new Holy Father would be shown a burning bale of flax, while the minister sang, "Holy Father, thus the glory of the world passes away." The Pope would thus be reminded that no matter how great our earthly possessions or power or prestige, soon enough it will all be gone, making way for the beauty and knowledge of God himself, which surpasses all understanding. For us Christians, death is not the end. As the funeral liturgy declares, life is changed, not ended. And therefore, the Lord asks us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, for where our treasure is, there also our hearts will be. Second, because death is not truly an end, we need not be afraid. The only true death is sin. When the people tell our Lord today that the daughter of Jairus is dead, he corrects them. The child is not dead, but asleep. Because of their faith in God and hope for eternal life, the child will live. Each of us, as children of a loving Father, is called to the same faith and hope. The only death we need fear is the death that comes from sin. Sin alone can take away our happiness, both in this life and the next. Sin alone can rob us of our eternal inheritance. That's why the Lord in his mercy has given us the great sacrament of penance, where he restores to us the life that we have lost. The miracle described in our gospel today is a foreshadowing of the greater miracle that takes place when we're absolved from our sins and restored to grace. Finally, because we know that this is not our true home and that sin alone brings death, we have every reason for hope and never for despair. As our first reading told us, God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. And the prophet Ezekiel says, God does not desire the death of the sinner, but rather that he be converted and live. God has created each and every one of us by a special act of love. And the fact of our continued existence proves this love, because if God were to stop thinking of us personally and intimately for a single moment, we would cease to exist. God has willed each of us. He has made each of us necessary to his purposes. He, of course, wants all of us to live with him forever. The challenge for us is, how badly do we want the life he offers? How hungry are we for the life of the children of God? How eager are we to be apostles of his love in our homes, in our workplaces, and schools? St. Jose Maria Escrivá said that a Christian should hunger and thirst for holiness the way a greedy miser pines away for his money. Nothing should stand in the way of that desire for us. And if we keep our eyes fixed on heaven, if we sincerely seek the holiness to which we are called, our Lord tells us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for holiness, for they will be satisfied. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.